taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, this is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. You know, I've told you for quite a while that it's important to have a relationship with your local sheriff. Make sure they're a constitutionally minded sheriff. Make sure they're going to be there to protect your rights so that you can focus on what is important to you. And today, I am glad to have the first in a line of constitutional sheriffs, Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff Mack, thank you so much for giving us some of your time.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting you a few weeks ago out here in Middle Tennessee, and I was glad we could arrange this. People who know you most likely know you for your stand for the power of the sheriff against a bullying federal government. Can you tell us a little bit about the story and the case that it led to?
Yeah, sure. I was sheriff from 1988 to the end of 1996, and I got two terms. I lost my third term. And the reason I lost my third term is because I did something really crazy when I was sheriff. I became the first sheriff in American history to actually launch a major lawsuit against the federal government, the Clinton administration, no less, take it all the way to the United States Supreme Court and win a major landmark decision against the incursions and the overreach of the federal government. And I, the actual pretend legislation or the act or bill, it wasn't law, because if it was law, it would have to be lawful, and it wasn't. And so the Declaration of Independence calls such legislation pretended legislation. And that's exactly what this was. It was called the Brady Bill. And the Brady Bill was the first time in American history where the Congress actually promulgated an act, the Brady Bill, and said and ordered and commanded the sheriffs of this country to enforce it until the FBI got around to a national insta-check, which is also an abomination and completely unconstitutional. However, that was the setup. And literally, we were informed inside, it's in the Brady Bill itself, that if we failed to comply, we were subject to a year in prison, a $10,000 fine, or both. And people think I make this stuff up. Well, you can look it up yourself. The Brady Bill is still online. If you want to look up the best review of the Supreme Court decision in this particular case, Cornell University did the best review that I saw of any law school that actually reviewed the case very extensively. They even put in there what every single Supreme Court justice said. So six other sheriffs joined me in the lawsuit, and the one name that stuck to the case more than mine, it was actually Prince, P-R-I-N-T-Z, who actually filed second after I did. But his case was actually heard at the district court before mine was, because the schedule in Helena, Montana was not as busy as the one in Tucson, Arizona, where I filed. So he actually got heard first, and I was always wondering why his name got attached to the case more than mine, even though I was first. He and I were actually consolidated at the Ninth Circuit, and it was indeed called the Mack Prince case. And then for some reason, it was taken off. My name was taken off as far as most history books go. I've seen a couple of history books that say my name on the case, but for as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, it was the Prince case. But if you read inside the case, it mentions both myself and Prince. And so this was the first time, again, the first time a sheriff in American history has ever done this. It was never done before, never done since. And it's the most powerful 10th Amendment decision in the history of our country. And you could always argue that a little bit. But if you read the case, it will be very plain that this is the most powerful 10th Amendment decision ever. And it was written by Justice Antonin Scalia, and it was a 5-4 split, which we would have loved to have had a unanimous verdict, but there was no way that was going to be. Because, and it really bothers me, I'll tell you why. The 5 Republicans sided with me, and the 4 Democrats sided with the Clinton administration. And that's just playing politics. And that's all the Supreme Court has been reduced to. Yeah. I hope this current Supreme Court does a little bit better than that and put aside politics and just stand for the Constitution, which is the oath they took and swore when they became members of the Supreme Court. But it was a very powerful case, and it plainly states that the federal government is not our boss, and that the states maintain power by enforcing the 10th Amendment. And so I love the decision. I might give you a few quotes from the case as we go along, but it's such a miracle and a miraculous decision. And the more I study it and the older I get, the more miraculous this decision becomes. And it came out June 27, 1997, about 9 months after I lost my election, because everybody said I was wasting my time on this, that they didn't want an activist sheriff, they just wanted a sheriff, and I got booted down the road. I thought that was actually one of the worst days of my life. It actually turned out to be one of the best. I'm traveling all over the country ever since then. I've been writing books. I've written 8 books. And probably the most powerful book I've written is just this little pocket-sized review of the Supreme Court case. It is a most amazing case that everybody should get. And so I spent hours and hours reviewing the case, and I came up with this little highlighted Reader's Digest version, if you will, of the case. And I highly recommend that, and anybody can get that at cspoa.org. cspoa.org.
Yep. And I have that. I've read it. You're right. I mean, I read a lot of cases that come out of the Supreme and some of the circuit courts for the Constitution study. It's part of what I do.
Sure.
And you're right. The idea that, you know, the reminder that it's the states that need to defend their rights. You went to the courts to petition them for a redress of this grievance, but ultimately it's the states that have to stand up and say no. Now, you mentioned the CSPOA, and I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about something else that you kind of mentioned in passing, and that was, you know, you were standing up not only for your rights, but for the rights of the citizens of your county.
Oh yeah.
And they didn't rehire you. They said they didn't want you to actually stand up for their rights. They wanted you to be a good little quiet sheriff and show up when they call, and that was it, right?
Yeah, and I've always been perplexed by that. It kind of hurt my feelings that the citizens of the county didn't get behind me. But there were several other things too. One, I was registered as a Democrat. And to know that area, Graham County, it's a very conservative area. Nationally, they always vote, and statewide, they always vote for the Republican for governor, Republican for president. Very, very conservative. But it was registration there was 6-1 Democrat when I ran back in 1988. And both my parents, very conservative, but they were both registered Democrat. That has changed now because somebody took the bull by the horn as a Republican chair, and he went door to door just getting the conservative people to register. And now there's actually more Republicans in that county than there are Democrats or independents. But it's a strange phenomenon. And the Democrat Party, of which I was a member, finally realized that I wasn't a Democrat. And so the mainstream Democrats in the Democrat Party really went after me. And then nationally, there were some groups that really went after me and labeled me as, of course, a lunatic and a fringe and extremist and white supremacist and all these other crazy things. If you stand for the Constitution then you're going to get attacked and labeled and misrepresented. And that's exactly what happened to me. And it was obvious that I was supposed to go on. And I'm grateful for the 8 years that I was there. It gave me such an opportunity to do this. And you alluded to something just a minute ago. What I learned by going to court is that I should have never gone to court. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I was hoping we were going to go there.
That makes sense. You understand it because you understand the Constitution and you understand the role of the sheriff. I didn't have to ask permission from any court, especially federal court, to keep my oath of office. I should have just said no. Now, if there had been any other sheriff in the country or in Arizona that wanted to do this with me, but I was completely the Lone Ranger on this, and I saw no other way out except to go to court. And if I had started a movement back then and tried to get sheriffs nationwide to just say no, and if we'd have had a few sheriffs in Arizona that would have stood with me, we could have just sent a letter back to Congress and the president said, we're not doing the Brady Bill here in Arizona. If you want to come and arrest us, go ahead. But I don't think you're going to try to do that. And I will tell you, I saw numerous times, well, not numerous, but several times, where sheriffs stood up to the federal government and the federal government always backed down. And these were kind of little things, not huge constitutional issues. But at the same time, when the sheriff stands and tells the federal government what to do, they do it. And they don't want to fight with the sheriffs. And I learned that right away. And I should have known that would have been the best course. Looking back, I think it was inspired what I did. And I did the right thing, and my wife totally agreed with it. She endorsed it and actually made the decision for me when she endorsed it and said, because if she'd have told me, no way, we got five children, we don't want to do this. You don't want to fight the Clintons. You know what happens to people who fight the Clintons. She didn't say anything like that. She just said, I totally support you. Maybe this is why you were supposed to be sheriff. And she was very supportive. And if she hadn't been, this would have never happened. So I give her credit for making the decision that this would actually happen.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So I think I've told you this, but I've also told my listeners. But when I kind of got involved and saw the power of a sheriff, mm-hmm. I made a point. I did something weird. I scared my sheriff. I called his office and says, "Hey, I want to have a meeting." And of course, the deputy that's taking the call says, "Well, what do you want to talk about?" I said, "I just want to meet him. I want to know him. I want to talk to him and make sure we understand each other." So sure. I sit down and I told him summaries. I basically said, "Listen, what I want is when I pick up the phone and dial 911, and one of your deputies shows up, I want them to have been trained. Their first job is to protect the rights of everyone there." Sheriff said, "Absolutely." I said, "If you do that, I'll stand with you. Whether that's you need some constitutional research, whether you need someone to go help testify before some state committee or at a press conference, or just someone to stand there next to you if they come after you for this." And that, I think, was the part that you did not have. And I think that's part of what we the people need to recognize. When we recognize the unique role of a sheriff, We can't leave them out standing alone in a field. We need to back them when the bad guys are coming.
Yeah, and what you totally did, I want every American to emulate. All of us, yes, all of you, need to have a relationship with your sheriff. You need to know your sheriff. You need to know where he stands. You need to know what Paul just said, and that is, will he stand for the Constitution? Will he protect your rights? In America, every facet of government, all three branches of government, are dedicated to one proposition, and that is protecting liberty. If we will do that, if we will put liberty first, judicial, executive, and legislative branches, if we will put liberty first in each one of those branches, in every facet of our jobs, we'll take back America tomorrow. But the problem is we've allowed politics and political correctness to destroy the very principles and foundation that made America great. And this thing about now we should try socialism and communism in America because liberty just has not worked here, or the Constitution just hasn't worked. The problem is we have people who don't know and understand the Constitution, don't care about the Constitution, and don't care about liberty.
Yep.
And we're not in trouble in America because we've put liberty first. We're not in such perilous times because we follow the Constitution too strictly. Far from it. If you kill the Constitution, you kill America, and you kill the freedom and liberty that we were blessed with when we were born here. And that's the problem I'm seeing in America today. We are replacing the Constitution with a socialistic agenda that is completely contrary to the vision and hope of the Founding Fathers for our great country.
Yet we've effectively replaced the Constitution, the rule of law, with the rule of man. And, you know, if you put this man in this office, it's one way. If you put someone else, it's completely different. It reminds me both of, you know, George Washington's farewell address, where he warned us that our devotion to party, to faction, leads directly to despotism and tyranny. But I'm also reminded of what Abraham Lincoln said when he said, "The people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the men who pervert the Constitution." So, you know, we've become this so focused on the people that we have, you know, if we get this right person, they'll come to the rescue, rather than realizing it's actually up to us. The Constitution's ink on parchment. It's not gonna stop anything unless we use it as the justification for saying no.
Right. And the Constitution doesn't enforce itself. It's the people who swore an oath to do it. And you alluded to something else when you asked your sheriff, are you training your deputies and your office staff to follow the Constitution, to keep their oath? And what I have found is that there's not a single police academy or law enforcement academy in the country that trains in that. We have this big ceremony. Some of them call it the pinning ceremony, where we put the badge on your chest when you graduate from the academy. And some sheriffs actually take that pretty seriously. But still, the police academies in this country, 99.9%, do not train in that. We have to take that oath. Mm-hmm. But we're never taught the significance of the oath. What does that mean? Why is it that we have so many officials swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution and then summarily ignore that? Or even worse, wittingly disobey it. And I was astonished by that as a rookie cop way back in 1982, 83, when I discovered that I had actually sworn an oath 3 years prior to uphold and defend the Constitution. I didn't even remember doing it. And so I completely started over in my approach to law enforcement and to government in general. So why do we have government? And then I found that answer, and it was in the Declaration of Independence, just 9 or 10 words, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. The purpose of all government in America is to provide and protect and defend individual liberty. Our God-given rights are the most important thing here, and that means a lot of times that government leaves us alone.
Yes.
And right now, our government, with all these mask mandates and ridiculous threats of forced vaccinations, and literally government position now in schools and government places of work, are you take the vaccination or you're fired. And that's what government is doing right now today.
You know, the interesting thing, you talk about that, yes, that, you know, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to defend these rights, to secure these rights, governments instituted among men. The very next words are, and I'm going to get the quote
maybe
wrong.
They're just powers from the consent of the governed.
Right. Their only just powers are what we consented to when we gave it to them in the constitutions. And you're right. You know, I talk to lawyers, and for years I've asked every lawyer I meet, I said, when you were in law school, did you study the Constitution or constitutional law? One lawyer in 4 or 5 years now has said, well, I studied the Constitution. Almost all of them studied a judge's opinion about the Constitution
case law,
rather than document itself. And it's amazing.
And actually, there's no such thing as case law.
Yeah, well,
because it's not law at all.
Yeah, it's
a precedent an opinion.
It's technically common law, but common law is supposed to be subservient to both statutory and constitutional law, the real Constitution. But we don't teach it in schools. You didn't learn it when you became a law enforcement officer. Lawyers and judges aren't taught it. Most of our politicians come from the law school. That's not taught in the military. You have all these people swearing or affirming to support a document that many of them may have never read, certainly have never studied. And that's why I've become so passionate about helping everyday people and, you know, law enforcement. This trip I'm going on is, I have several locations where they're inviting sheriffs and local elected officials to understand the importance of knowing the rights. And part of what I'm talking about is the importance of having a sheriff to protect the home ground. You know, I talk about fighting for liberty, and Washington, D.C. and our state houses, those are the front lines. Those are the battlefields. Our homes are our supply depots. If we lose those, we cannot fight anywhere else. And that's where the constitutional sheriff comes in.
Well, and you're absolutely correct about bringing up what Washington said about the two-party system in his farewell address. He called the two-party system the bane of America. And it is. We're seeing the destruction of America from the Democrats and Republicans, who only put their lust for power and their greed ahead of the Constitution and ahead of liberty. The Democrats are showing right now that all they care about is maintaining power and obtaining a monopoly on power in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is totally corrupt, and we have to find a way to make it irrelevant. I don't believe we'll ever restore liberty in Washington, D.C. unless we get rid of all of them and start completely over. And the Republicans aren't much better than the Democrats. And if you were to look at everything of the key issues in America, the cruelty of the IRS and other bureaucracies there, the funding of Planned Parenthood by the United States Congress with taxpayer dollars, the Federal Reserve, and the incessant desire there for money, and their cooperation, or their partnership, I wanted to say, their partnership with Wall Street and big corporations, and it is so completely corrupt, putting innocent people in prison. The cruelty of the IRS, and that they both allow these things to occur and continue their support of these types of cruelty and unconstitutional acts. None of them know and understand the Constitution. And I will even say that these Freedom Caucus congressmen and senators who actually say they know and understand and love the Constitution, you don't see much from them either when it comes to these important issues. They just don't seem to get it or don't seem to care.
You know, I'm reminded of another quote, this one from President James Garfield at this country's centennial, when he said, "Now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If it be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it's because the people demand these fine qualities in their national legislature." If that is true for Congress,
email me that, would you? Email me that quote.
Absolutely. If that is true for Congress, isn't it just as true for our governors, our state legislatures, our sheriffs? You know, you talk about replacing who's there. The people in Washington do what they do because we've trained them over the years to know that that works. You offer us goodies, you offer us programs, you offer us money, we sell you votes. And it's, you know, before we change Washington, we need to change our state houses. And before we change the state houses, for it to be effective, I mean, we can still work on Washington. For it to be effective, we really need to change the state houses. And before we change the state houses, again, we have to have those protections at home. You know, did you start the CSPOA?
Yeah, I was the founder, and I'm currently the president. And it's to do one thing, and that's just exactly what you said, We train sheriffs and peace officers and public officials nationwide and the public, because they have to wake up also. But we train all public officials, especially sheriffs, and the public to know and understand the role of local officials in erecting the barriers against the encroachments of state and federal bureaucrats who do not follow the Constitution. We now have constitutional sheriffs all across the country. We don't have enough. And I'm dedicating my life to creating those pockets of freedom all across the country where we have sheriffs who will tell federal and state bureaucrats, you're not going to do that in my county. Beyond this line, you shall not pass. And the sheriff, this is a peaceful process. The sheriffs can do this. The sheriffs can keep it peaceful. And if the sheriffs do this, it will remain peaceful. And that's our whole purpose of doing this, is to have a peaceful remedy for what's going on in our country today. It's working. It needs to be bigger, better, and faster. And that's why we need the people listening to this program to join us and be a part of this, because I can't keep track of the 3,086 sheriffs myself. We need your help. You have to be involved in the process, just as Paul said a minute ago. You're the ones. We, the people, are the first three words of the Constitution. We are the ones who bestow power in this country. We bestow all power and all authority. We have the final say in this country. Government needs our permission to be in the position they are. We don't need their permission. They need ours. And we need to get involved with our sheriffs to take back America, county by county, state by state.
You know, you made an important point. It's not just that they tell Washington, they must do it. They must follow through.
That with your sheriff is the best and most effective peaceful remedy we have today.
Now, CSPOA, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, correct?
That is correct. And CSPOA.org.
CSPOA. And you don't have to be a law enforcement officer to be involved, to participate, or to help.
Oh, I'm really glad you said that. That is correct. In fact, people who become a member and donate to us, it's not sheriffs. It's we the people that we really get funded by. And we really need some serious funding right now, because we have so many sheriffs asking us to come do the training that we can't keep up with it.
You know, it's funny, because when I first heard of it, I was expecting it to be that. You told me that it's individuals, because the sheriff works for the people. The Correct. Sheriff doesn't report to the governor or the president. The sheriff reports to the people. And if we don't have a constitutional sheriff, if you don't have one, well, it's up to the people to do something about that.
Correct. So, and yeah, that's exactly correct. And the sheriff in this country, the sheriffs in this country don't fully understand their power and authority. And they are the ultimate protector of the people, always have been. For 1,000 years, the sheriff has been that position. And all the sheriff has to do is know and understand and fulfill his oath of office that he swore to do when he took his job. That's all he has to do. Keep his oath, keep his word, and keep us safe.
You know, it's one of those things. It's very simple, but it's not necessarily easy. And it would be a lot easier if people like me and everyone else who live in these counties help support our local sheriff. There was a movie about that. That's I always think of a James Garner
James
movie.
Garner.
That's right. It's a funny movie if you want to find it. But it's actually important that we need to support our local sheriff. If he or she is going to be there to defend our rights, we need to be backing with them. Because as Benjamin Franklin said, right, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, either we will all hang together or assuredly we will all hang separately. We have way too many sheriffs that don't know how to fulfill that oath. And the ones that do are hanging out all by themselves. And we need to bring them along. As we're about to wrap up, Sheriff Mack, thank you for your time. Can you give us just one little bit of spiel about CSPOA?
It is the best and most effective, peaceful solution that exists in America today to take back our Constitution and thus take back our country. We need everybody's support. Everybody can get involved in this. And yes, we can take America back one county at a time. Start in your home.
Excellent. I can think of no better way to leave. As we head off to break, though, I want to remind my listeners to go to healthycell.com/outloud. Try all of their products. Try their Focus and Recall. You'll get 20% off of your first order. That's healthycell.com/outloud.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I don't know about you, but I had a great time with that interview with Sheriff Mack. I want to remind you to head over to cspoa.org. Help support your constitutional sheriff, support your local sheriff, but also support the men and women who are there protecting the home front, whether you're there or not. Again, that's cspoa.org. You don't need to be a member of law enforcement to join them, to help them, and to every citizen should have that relationship with their sheriff. You know, it's not enough to simply vote for the man or woman every 4 years. You really need to be involved. You need to make sure, one, that they're going to fulfill that oath to support the Constitution of the United States and of their state. If they're not going to do that, well, then you really should find somebody else. But it's also important that you stand with them, that we and I'm not simply talking about a general back the blue. I mean, if you have a constitutional sheriff, you should be willing to stand with them, to support them when they're doing the constitutional thing. Because as Sheriff Mack said, they'll get vilified. They'll get called names. They'll be, you know, they'll be attacked in public. And it really matters that you stand with them. Now, why, you may be wondering, why are you all this talk about the sheriff? Don't we know, you know, the president's the most important man in the world? Well, legally, no, but here's the concern. Our famous Dr. Anthony Fauci made another bold announcement, and again, he made it to the media. He didn't actually tell the people, but he basically said that the mandates are coming. Now, what's interesting is Dr. Fauci isn't saying that the federal government's going to bring mandates. He's not even saying that necessarily state governments are bringing mandates. No, he pointed out that businesses and schools across the country will start issuing a flood of vaccine mandates. Now, he believes this will happen as soon as the FDA issues its full approval for the COVID vaccine. I find that telling. First of all, because it generally takes between 12 and 15 years for a medication or a vaccine to go through full testing. But they're rushing through this. We got to rush. We got to get this out. But what happens when it's not just the businesses or the schools or the local governments or even when the state governments start coming around trying to enforce these mandates? What do you do? Now, I've talked about this before, and it's a lot of a large part of what I'm going to be talking about later this week and next week when I'm on the Knowing Your Rights tour. But think of it this way. Who's going to have your back when the door knocker comes up and starts asking questions about your medical history? And you tell them, I'm sorry, you're not welcome here. You're trespassing. And they don't leave. So you call 911. Maybe you live in a city and maybe a police officer shows up. Maybe you live in a rural area and it's a deputy that shows up. Maybe it's even a state trooper that shows up. Are they going to know what your rights are and what the other person's rights are? Are they going to enforce the law because that's the oath that they've sworn to protect, to support the Constitution, and that you have a constitutional right to not be searched or harassed or, without a reasonable cause, without probable cause, without a warrant? Or are they simply going to say, well, you know, so-and-so said so. The president said so, or Fauci said so, or the governor said so, or the mayor said so, or the county official said so, or the school board said so. You know, that's the equivalent of saying, I'm just following orders. Now, we've heard that before. And the question is, will we hear it again? So I fully expect to encounter law enforcement officers who tell me, well, I'm just following orders while I deprive you of your rights protected by the Constitution that I swore to uphold. Which is why we need to have sheriffs that know better. Because it's the sheriff that can stand between you and the government official. You and the government actor. You and the private citizen who thinks they know better than everybody else. That they have a mandate to tell you how to live your life. It is the sheriff and their deputies. So, yes, get to know your sheriff. Have a relationship with your sheriff. I know if you live in a largely populated county with a large population, it's harder. The sheriff is busier. It's harder to have a relationship with him. Maybe instead of doing it one-on-one, maybe you want to do it in a group. But make sure that you have a relationship with the sheriff, not only so that they will come when you call 911 and protect your rights, but so that you can communicate and let them know, hey, here's what's going on, or even hear from them. Hey, you know, we're getting pressured to do this. You know, what can we do? The sheriff is such an important position that we need to be working with them. And again, whether it's a mask mandate, a vaccine mandate, these door-to-door knockings, or hey, look at some counties where you've got rioters, you've got people, you know, bands of people looting and pillaging and destroying property. You're going to call somebody and you want them to show up, and you don't want them to do like what happened in St. Louis, Missouri, when you're forced to protect your own life and your own property with your own firearm. You don't want to be the one that's hauled off to jail. You want a sheriff and a deputy that says, I'm sorry, DA, I cannot arrest this person for exercising their right to defend themselves. So it's a very important thing, and it's something I don't think we spend nearly enough time on. We end up always focused on Washington, D.C. Now, I also saw this coming out of the White House. Press Secretary Jen Psaki is at it again. She said, quote, this is not March 2020 or even January 2021. We're not going to lock down our economy or our schools because our country's in a much stronger place than when we took office. Oh, first of all, okay, Jen Psaki may not be a politician, but she works for one, so I don't trust a word that comes out of her mouth. I fully expect that Washington would lock everything down if they thought it politically advantageous. Why not? How many Americans actually stood up when these lockdowns happened? How many Americans actually pushed back? To stay with our theme today, how many sheriffs complied and enforced these illegal orders? That's the question. See, if you're trusting on a politician to not infringe on your rights simply because, well, they're a politician, you're on a fool's errand. Thomas Jefferson said, if you wish to be ignorant and free, you want what never was and never will be. We need to be educated, and we need to be educating others. And that's part of what we're talking about today is both educating and being involved with our sheriff, so that when, not if, when some government official tries to enact some illegal, unconstitutional policy, you can inform your sheriff of the constitutional issues if they don't already recognize it. You can work with them to protect you from these unconstitutional, these illegal, these void orders and laws and mandates. And then you can support them as they do that. That's what this is about. You know, right now I am I'm pre-recording this episode because I'm on the road. I am teaching people how to know what their rights are, how to defend and assert them. If you want to know more, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. You can find everywhere I'm going. You can even request that I come to a location near you. But it's this need to understand, and it's this need for us to stop looking for someone else to protect our rights, to pray that some ink on parchment is going to somehow come to life like a Marvel superhero and come to the rescue. It doesn't work that way. We need to defend our own rights, and we need help. We need our neighbor's help. We need our sheriff's help. And just because some White House press secretary says, no, don't worry, we're not going to go locking things down. If you believe that, I guess I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, and I have oceanfront property in Nevada to sell you. Because roughly the same time that Jen Psaki was telling you, we won't lock everything down, you have our fake Fauci friend, again, being interviewed, and he said, to get to the 93 million unvaccinated people, we are going to need local mandates. That's right. He says, all of a sudden, now we're going to have local, we have enterprises that are going to feel much more confident in local mandates for the vaccine. See, it's not just Washington. Why does President Biden need to have a federal mandate? Why does he need to take the heat when he's going to have local governments do it, or state governments, or businesses, or universities? This is why we need to protect our own rights, because we've tried waiting for someone else to protect them for us, and it's failed. And it's failed miserably. And I'm sorry to all of you that think, the 2022 or the 2024 elections and Republicans taking control of Congress and the presidency are going to magically fix this. I simply remind you of Obamacare. Remember, after Obamacare was passed, you had Republicans decrying it. They were submitting bills that they knew were not going to pass, but they submitted them anyway because that's the right thing to do. They ran on promising to overturn, to repeal Obamacare. And then as soon as they got one house of Congress, they said, we need both houses of Congress. Then they got both houses of Congress. They said, we need the presidency. And as soon as they got both houses of Congress and the presidency, they did nothing. A political party is not going to save you. A man in office is not going to save you. As long as we keep electing people like that allow this to go on, it will continue. As long as we keep electing people at all levels of government that allow this to happen, we're going to get the same outcomes. What did Sheriff Mack say? Sometimes he wished he didn't go to court. He wished he had realized that he could have just said no. He doesn't need government's permission to exercise his office as sheriff. He doesn't need the federal government's permission to fulfill his oath of office. He just needs to do it. Because these mandates, and again, today it's masks and vaccines. Who knows what's next? Every time you think they can't fall any further towards despotism and tyranny, they take a giant leap in that direction. Now, if you live in a city, well, things get even worse. See, unlike a sheriff is elected by the people. He or she is responsible to the people. He's the people's employee. When you get into a city, the police chief is normally appointed by the mayor. That's not an elected position. They serve at the mayor's sufferance, at the mayor's will. So if you live in a city, I actually kind of feel for you, because a report recently has come out from the Open Books. And they collected data and they found that in 25 major U.S. cities, about 20 of those cities have already cut police budgets. You say, well, okay. I mean, remember we had all this defund the police, defund the police. Well, defund the police didn't mean defund the police. It meant just take money away and put it somewhere else. Okay, so we've got these 20 mayors of the 20 of the largest cities in America that have cut their budgets to the police department. While these same mayors are spending millions of your tax dollars on their own security. According to this report, over $43 million is being paid in private security to mayors that have cut funding for your police department, for your security. How do you feel now? Maybe now you want to talk to your sheriff and say, listen, the police department's not protecting me. In many cases, and again, a lot depends on the constitution of your state and how that is organized. But if we're going to cut funding for police, who's going to protect you? And if these mayors in these cities are so hypocritical as to say, well, we'll cut the security for you, but no, we get to hire our own because, well, we're just more important than you are. That to me is the perfect example of the problem. You see, the mayor in your city is supposed to be your servant, not your master. They're not supposed to be more important than you are. They are there to serve you. But yet they act like they rule over you. It's this idea that government is makes you, being in government makes you an aristocrat. You're special. And somehow, you know, we'll just let them eat cake. Sure, we'll cut their funding, but we'll use your money not to protect you, but to protect the mayor. And I'm sure their family as well. See, we're supposed to be a republic. We're supposed to be a constitutional republic where we don't have, the whole idea of nobility is anathema. You know, the Constitution says that there will be no titles of nobility. The idea being is because we didn't want nobility. We didn't want being mayor or governor or congressman or legislator or president to be a position that made you better than everyone else. We wanted those positions to be a servant of everyone else. But here we have mayors willing to say, hey, we'll cut your security, but I need mine. And mayors are not alone. We've seen Congress people do it. We see a lot of people do this. All the more reason, if you live in a county, that if you don't have a police force, get to know your sheriff. Have them not only be trained to support you, but be willing to support you, to know that you've got their back. If things go bad, if things go sideways, if people come after your sheriff, you've got their back. You want the sheriff to have your back, that you have their back. I cannot stress this enough. It's actually, you know, it's a little thing. It took me, it was half an hour of my day to go sit down with my sheriff. Now again, my sheriff, I like the answers that he gave. I am waiting for him to do what he said. Now, thankfully, I live in a very quiet county. We don't have a lot of these problems, so he hasn't had to do what he said. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't proven himself to be untrustworthy yet, so I will trust him. You may not be. You may meet your sheriff and they may be, no, I have to follow the law. That's, if you're telling me that I have to ignore a mandate from Washington, well, that's just anarchy. Well, then, you have the wrong sheriff. That's the time to start working on finding a better sheriff. But we have to take responsibility. We can't simply allow other people to have responsibility for our own security, for protecting our rights. We have them that help protect our back, but we have to take responsibility. And that's part of what I'm doing this summer, is I'm meeting with people and helping expose them to the idea that, you are not a subject of government. That if you read and study the Constitution, you know what your rights are. You're prepared to defend and assert them. So when that government actor shows up and attempts to infringe on your rights, you know what to do and how to do it. That's what the Knowing Your Rights tour is about. This idea of we can know what our rights are. We are not subjects of government. We are the masters of government. They only exercise just powers that we have delegated to them. And if they're exercising a power we have not delegated to them, not only is that power unjust, it is on us to stop it. So again, please check out constitutionstudy.com/tour. You can find out more there. I've still got several dates open. I'm still looking for more locations to go. Looks like we're trying to set something up in Florida. I have a couple locations that we're trying to work out some details with. I still would like to get to the Northeast. I'm from New York. I would love the chance to get back up there, meet some of my old friends, some of my family, and be in the New York and New England area. Massachusetts was the birthplace of so much of what we've done. We think of Philadelphia, where the Constitution was born, but so much of the fight for liberty started in Massachusetts. The battles of Lexington and Concord, the Tea Party, all of that happened in Massachusetts, including the Great Boston Massacre. I'd like to be there. I've had someone invite me up to the Pacific Northwest. I'd love to see if I can get something going on up there. And I'd love to invite sheriffs and local elected officials to join me to open up and expose and consider what that oath they took really means. But the most important thing to me, more than anything else, is that we educate the citizens of the United States. See, if we were to fire every member of Congress, if we were throw all of the bums out, every one of them, I don't care if you like them or not, throw them all out and hire a whole new Congress, a brand new president, a new governor, a new state legislature, if we were to start absolutely from scratch, we'd quickly end up with the same type of people in office. See, it's not that we have evil people in office. It's that we tolerate evil people in office. James Garfield said, if Congress is ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. In other words, the bad news is you look at Congress and they're our fault. Maybe not individually, but as a group, Congress is our fault. Now, if that's the bad news is, the good news is, well, Congress is our fault. You say, Paul, how is that good news? The good news is we can fix it. It's not going to take an election. It's not going to take a decade. It's going to take time. But if we don't do it, who will? Ronald Reagan said way back in 1961, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Look at freedom today in America. Freedom of religion's destroyed. You can only exercise your religion if it agrees with what the government says. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press are being destroyed. If the government doesn't like what you say, well, they'll shut you up. They'll flag you for social media to ban you. They'll call you an insurrectionist. They'll call you a domestic terrorist for actually believing the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That's just the beginning. Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction, and we are in an extinction-level event. Now, Reagan went on to say, we didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. They must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. I hate to tell you this, we're at that location. We're at that time. We are here. I had a Q&A with I like Q&As with college students. I had this one Q&A where I had a college student tell me, listen, you're worried about all these rights. Well, they've been infringed for a good reason and society hasn't collapsed. And I had to explain to him what it was like when I was his age, when there wasn't such a thing as freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to keep and bear arms, freedom to be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures. Now, I'm not saying it was perfect when I was a kid. Far from it. We were well on the way towards tyranny. But it's happening faster and faster. And we need to do something. So I ask you, let's read and study the Constitution. Let's teach the rising generation to be free, because we know the government-run schools are not going to do it for us. Let us take responsibility for our own freedom and our own liberty, and let us take the steps that we need to make sure that not only are our rights are protected, but our future is protected as well. And please be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. It is more important than ever that we all do our part, that we share these stories, these articles, the videos, the podcasts, so that we can help secure freedom and liberty for America and for our future.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day.